Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Desperate House Witches. I am Dorian Wallace, accompanied by my amazing sister, Raina Scott.
Hey, everybody. I went merely from being her sister to being amazing, that's pretty sweet. I'll take it.
You are. You've always been amazing, and I don't tell you often enough, so there.
Oh, well, you're pretty amazing, too. Best little sister anybody could ever have. As I said.
See, we're going to start the off all gushy.
Well, here, let me ungush you pretty quick. Tonight on the show, we have Jade Soluna, who is joining us this evening. Okay, never mind.
That's not helping. He's cute, so that's not helping me at all.
That's true. He is very cute.
And he likes kitties.
Yes. And he likes what?
Kitties.
Yes, he likes kitties. Well, I couldn't deal with a man who didn't like kitties. So, yeah, there you go.
There you go.
So, in case anybody was wondering, because this is not his normal night to be with us. Normally, he's on the last party of the month, but there was scheduling conflict. So we said, well, come on early then. So, yay, we're very happy to have him tonight. Hope he's happy to be here. Hope everybody's week went well. But before I launch into that bullshit, go ahead and give your shout out, sis.
I actually got a double shout out.
Another one.
I got a shout out, as usual, to my cousin Jess, who is listening tonight. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. And to my Annie Lane, her mommy, who is listening in with her, who told me she was listening in tonight. So, love you guys. I miss you.
Yay!
So how has your week been going?
Holy shit on a shingle. What the fuck is going on? You know, not for nothing, but you know what? Let me not complain. Here's the thing. I said earlier this week on my Facebook page, I left my morning prayer out there for the gods and everyone to see. I actually am very grateful. It's been a rough couple of weeks emotionally for, it seems, everybody. Everybody's got some kind of shit going on this past month. Glad October is around the corner. It's just been really fucking crazy lately. Oh, let me give my disclaimer. Well, not my disclaimer, my ratings warning here. Anybody who's listening for the first time, I curse like a motherfucking sailor. So if you're easily offended, I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not sorry.
I was going to say, it's our show. We're not sorry.
I'm not sorry. You're right. So take your kids out of the room because it's about to get really deep in here. So anyway, everybody's just going through a lot of shit. So I'm trying to remember my gratitude. And, you know, I check my Facebook page, my cover, what I call the cover page, you know, the stuff that has your name on it and all that stuff as opposed to all your friends and shit like that. So I basically look at that page every day, and even if I haven't had time to get to the altar yet, I at least say the prayer right there because it's right in front of my face, which helps. It helps. It helps to stay grateful even when things aren't perfect. And the funny thing about that is that my week started off very strangely. I was getting phone calls from higher ups that never, ever call me, and it wasn't to complain. It was just to say, hey, I'm going to do this, and I just figured I'd let you know, which is very nice, but very unusual. But hey,
yeah,
I'll take it. Whatever. Yeah, so I just, you know, basically rolled with it. And, you know, a lot of people have been going through a lot of crazy emotional shit for some reason in the past month. I don't know what that's all about, but you know what? Okay, so we'll roll with that and we'll get through it like we get through everything else. This is just a day-to-day living situation. You know what I mean? Don't get hung up on it. Yeah. Don't get stressed out by it. We're all going through some kind of shit lately. I don't know what it's about. But just stay positive. All you got to do is stay positive, and the way will be made, whatever it is. So there you go. I can't really complain.
That's the whole thing. It's been kind of a balancing week. It's like there's been a lot of shit thrown at people, including myself. There's been an insane amount of insomnia posts, both on Twitter, both on Facebook, that I have seen within the last 2 weeks. I have experienced it myself. I mean, there's been at least one night a week that it's like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, why the fuck am I still awake?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on? I'm exhausted. I can barely move, but I cannot close my eyes and I cannot shut my brain off, which in itself is extremely hard to do as it is. You know, my head never shuts up, almost like my mouth. But also, I've seen a lot of gratitude. You know, and me, myself, you know, as weird as the week has been, I've been very grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I've noticed is the witch war has started again this year. It has begun.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared. Be careful of what you say to people. If you're not willing to get into a fight, if you're not willing to take a side, if you don't want to take sides, which I'm Switzerland for the most extent until somebody pisses me off or I see them doing wrong to others, I'll be Switzerland. I will listen to your case first, but the witch wars have begun. There has been a lot of bickering, especially with the higher-ups, you know, the people who are more prominent in the community. I have noticed them being attacked left and right. You know, there was just one, like, not, you know, yesterday, I believe it was. It was yesterday or this morning. It was like, oh, my God, why is this person attacking this person? Or, you know, people trying to ride each other's coattails.
Plagiarism. I noticed that there's been a lot of plagiarism going on lately. I'm like, where the fuck did that come from? It's like a rash attack all at once. What's that about?
Yeah, and, you know, and this is the season of it because, you know, tomorrow starts. By the way, happy Mavon, everybody.
Happy Mavon, y'all.
You know, this is when it starts, you know, especially in the fall. We become active. We wake up. You know, a lot of pagans, doesn't matter what denomination, I'm not getting into that fucking argument. I'm fucking tired of it. I seriously I'm so tired of that argument. Oh, well, if you're not following this, then you're this. Fuck you. Okay?
Yeah,
everybody follows their own path. That's why, you know, whatever. Just shut up. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on a rant.
Ramp. It's okay. Go ahead. Do it.
I've noticed an influx of it, and I'm feeling the vibrations because, you know, as many of you know and some of you don't know, I am very much an empath. So I feel I tap into our kind no matter where you are. And I feel that energy and I feel that anger, and I've been snapping at people and, you know, not without provocation. You know, I've been holding my tongue when it's not necessary, not that I'm not seething underneath my skin, but, you know, if it's unwarranted, I won't say anything, you know. But if it is warranted, oh, my God, you bet your ass I'm going to jump on you, especially right now. because the energy is just so weird. And I'm actually glad things have played out the way they have tonight, because we were going to have actually a friend of mine on tonight, but he wasn't able to make it. But we have been able to procure, I guess, I don't know if that's the right word, one of the gentlemen from the last show, Paul, he is going to be on tonight. But tonight we were going to have one reading that somebody couldn't call in, and we were waiting on an affirmation whether the other guy was going to call in.
Right.
But what we are going to do tonight is we are going to go back to Paul. But first, we are going to talk about what's going on in the universe tonight, you know, like right now. And Jade made it sound important, so I'm excited about that because there have been some really fucking weird things going on. And I'm wanting to know what it is.
Yeah,
I know you felt it, I felt it. And it's kind of one of those indescriptive things. It's like you just kind of are. You don't feel sad, you don't feel mad, you don't feel happy, you don't feel joyful. It's just kind of you're in between, and you've got these little spurts of feelings.
Yeah.
But there's just kind of clay laying over it, if that makes sense.
It's a dull feeling. But, you know,
yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned snapping for no apparent reason. And, yeah, in the last couple of days, I have to tell you, yeah, my mood has been like that. You're right. I have actually done a couple of unwarranted snaps in the past 5 days, and I already have a temper as it is, but for whatever reason, in the past 5 days, things unseen are triggering it, and I don't know why. So yeah, this will be interesting to hear because I have snapped a few times, really unfairly, and yeah, I'd like an explanation of what's going on. Maybe it'll help me understand why I've been not, and it's not like I woke up in a bad mood, and it's not like somebody did anything to me. Nobody did anything to me. I didn't wake up badly, but like for an hour or two, like every other day or so, there'd be a period of like an hour or two where I would just snap and lose it. And I'm waiting for the explanation because I hope he says something that makes sense because, quite frankly, I have been wondering why just these spurts of time that I've been in such a bad mood. So, yeah, thank you for validating that for me because, yeah, you're right. I've had a couple of moments of just snappishness for no reason.
Yeah, it's like you're ready to tear something's head off, and luckily nothing is in sight, you know? That's usually what happens for me. It's like, I just like, I need to rip something. And, you know, and I got to tell you, I have literally, like, taken a piece of paper, and hopefully this will help somebody else. I've taken a piece of paper and written anger, you know, like, as angry as I was, I just, like, stabbed it into the paper and ripped it up and burned it, you know, just to try to dissipate it. Because it's like, this does not make sense. Why am I so agitated? And then I will have the opposite. It's like a bipolar month. And then I will have moments of extreme elation and euphoria and just, I'm just happy for no reason. I'm jumping up and I'm gritting my teeth and I'm just like, you know, clenching my fists because I'm just bursting with emotion.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. So I'm hoping that Jade can explain that to us. That would be awesome.
Okay, yeah. Now I haven't had the bipolar thing that you've just described. That I can't say I've had that, but but I have had like these momentary outbursts a few times this week where it was just like everything was wrong, but it was a very brief amount of time. So I'm curious, but I can't say I've had extreme euphoria or, I haven't been in a bad mood, but I haven't had reason to be incredibly euphoric. But I've noticed lately, in this past week, that there seems to be a lot of good job energy. Like people starting jobs, people getting jobs if I can just mention something personal between me and my sister, our brother got a job, a new job.
He got it?
Yes. And we'll talk more about that.
I'm sorry.
Offline.
We're happy to
hear. I didn't have time to my sister and I talk constantly. I know you guys only hear a couple of hours of it a week, but we actually talk a whole lot more than that. We should probably record those conversations too and put them on the air.
No.
Not all of them. Yeah, there's certain ones that shouldn't. I agree. No, she speaks truth. But yes, our brother got the job. Your nephew has been working more this week, which we're excited about. We have other irons in the fire that we'll talk about on a future show. There's a lot of productive energy in the air. So anybody who is trying to get a new job, tap into what's going on right now, because this started this week and I feel like it's going to continue on for at least another month of this heavy duty productive energy where jobs will be gotten where there were no jobs before, and that there's a lot of motion right now in that line to make money. So if you've been having some issues, hold on to that, because it seems like a lot of things are turning right now. So that's a good sign, in my opinion. So,
there you go. Yeah, definitely. And new projects I've noticed. Me personally, and I know you have, and we've mm-hmm. been playing off each other, like you said, we'll discuss this in a future show. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, just ideas just popping, like out of
mm-hmm.
nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one little thing, like a picture or something will just spawn an idea. So go with it. Go with it.
Yeah, go with your creativity. Go with your ideas. If you've been thinking about creating something and it hasn't seemed like the right time, I'm telling you now is do it now. Get your drawings, your papers, whatever you write your ideas on, your ideas for something new, start working on all that. This is a very productive time right now. And
I'm sorry. I know we're on a delay, so we have a tendency to interrupt each other, and I really don't mean to interrupt my sister, so I apologize about that. It seems like, I want to call it a swifting, not like the Swiffers, but a swifting, there's a lot of, things are picking up, energy is awakening. This is Persephone's time, and, as you guys know now that I'm a Leo Persephone, so she's waking up, she's coming back to, the spiritual plane. So that is the majority of our souls and ourselves are, I don't want to say this for sooth, but I feel that we are tapped into that part at this time of year. We kind of go into hibernation like toward the end of spring and summer. Most of us, not all of us, because I can hear some people yelling, I don't, I love summer. Yes, I know you do. Nothing against you. For me personally, I wake up during the fall and the winter. I love it. I am tapped into Persephone and Hecate, however. So,
mm-hmm.
This is a time that we are hearing spirits. and we are having those voices in our ears and getting the ideas, and it's also agitating us into fights. And you know, like this is the time that, you know, you'll see the bickering between people, and I can guarantee you will see between people you thought that got along, that were fine.
Mm-hmm.
You will see bickering. You will see bickering, especially this year for some reason. I don't know why. But it's going to happen, so expect it. And expect somebody to just snap at you. You can either choose to react, or you can choose to just delete them and get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the bickering will continue. But I'm sorry, I'm going on a rant. It's just getting these messages, I got to get them out.
I know.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good. I agree with you. I don't think the bickering is going to last. I think it's going to be an interesting fall. I think things are going to calm down by the time December rolls around. But it's going to be a weird Yule. It's going to be a weird Yule. I think things are going to be interesting around Thanksgiving too, but I do see them calming down. But I think, you know, we've talked about the shift a lot, and we've talked about the alignment a lot, and I think part of this upheaval is about people deciding where they want to be, which side they want to be on. And I hate to say that there are even sides to be on, but in this instance, there are sides to be on. And I'm not going to proclaim which side is the right side or which side is the wrong side. I'm just saying that I can tell that there's a definite division of camp.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to, I think that's part of what we're all feeling as far as, you know, the snapping, the creativity, because as many people say, creativity a lot comes from the dark side. And, you know, I'm the first to admit, I am first discovering Hecate in my life and really asking for her help, especially at work, because it requires strength and it requires wisdom. And, you know, the softer side doesn't always get it. You know what I'm saying? A softer, employing a softer, gentler goddess isn't always the correct way to go, is what I mean.
No.
And so I've, you know, because of our guest tonight, I have started working with Hecate, and I'm seeing a lot of positive things. But I think part of that integration of her with me is why I'm having these sudden snapping fits, because I'm feeling energy. I'm feeling energy, and it's an energy I'm not used to, and it is showing me things that need to be cleaned out in my psyche, for lack of a better term. So I think that explains part of it to me, for what I'm going through lately, because she is an amazing force, and it has been a very interesting journey so far. I mean, I just started on this journey, so this is new to me. So I'm learning how to balance all of this, and I think I'm learning from it. So I'm really enjoying it, but that might be part of what I'm going through right now.
Well, you know,
and you've been a devotee of Hecate for quite some time, and I remember when you first, because you've talked to me about Hecate for the past year. I mean, that's how long.
It's been longer.
Not that you've told me. It may have been going on longer, but my knowledge of you working with her has only been in the past year.
Well, I live a year ago. I will, you know, I mean, you're always welcome at my house. But I will extend this invitation to you. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words. as you know, I live on a three-fork crossroad.
Yes.
And that is where, you know, that's the place where it's most advantageous, I guess, to call upon her. So you are more than welcome to come do ritual anytime you want. My neighbors, you know, kind of know I'm a witch. I don't care. I don't hide it from them. It kind of keeps them away from my fucking house anyway. So it's like, I don't care. You know, I'm not, I have the liberty of never having to hide who I am.
Yeah.
You know, so if, you know, regardless of who you are, if you are invited to my house, and this goes for everybody who's listening at this moment. If you are invited to my house, you have no worries about being yourself at my house.
Yeah, for sure.
There is never a worry. I don't care, you know, what it is. You do not have to hide it at my house.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you ever want to come and do ceremony at the Three Fork Crossroads, you are more than welcome. You know, she, you know, you would think she, you know, persimmons or I think, no, pomegranates.
Pomegranates, yeah.
Yeah, pomegranates are usually her thing. I've left one out for her. She didn't accept it. I don't know if it was because I didn't do it right, but that's regardless. I know she likes pennies. I've left those out for her before and they've disappeared. Okay. Whether you know, the neighborhood kids that took them or not, I don't care. But the pomegranate, no, it stayed and it started getting moldy. So,
well,
but
it's
anyway.
It's a spiritual offering, and I think that's the part that matters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You made the offering. That's what counts. It doesn't matter. It could be that she wasn't hungry yet. Whatever. The fact of the matter is that if, you know, the gods, I don't believe, actually need the things that we offer them. They like them as signs of our faith.
Yeah. You know what?
So
I can agree with that.
Yeah, it's a spiritual offering. The offering is, I think, more for us than it is for them. I think that they want to know that we are paying attention. And as I've often said, remember your gods so they remember you. Because, trust me, they will turn their back on you if you turn your back on them. They don't like to be ignored.
Yeah, definitely not. I got to say, though, here, she prefers it more. Yeah, personally, she prefers it more if I leave, like, breadcrumbs or peanuts out for the squirrels and stuff for the birds. Those go a lot quicker.
Feed her creatures.
Exactly. Feed the babies. And I thought, okay, this was a combination of, you know, putting an offering out for her because, you know, she likes pomegranates. That's her thing. And it would possibly be feeding the animals. But, no, the animals did not take it. So I have gone back to, you know, pieces of bread. You know, because I saved the crust from, you know, or whatever, you know, I make them sandwiches. I save the crusts and I'll put the crusts out for the animals. And boom, they disappear. So it's like, okay, you know what? I'm going back to this.
Are you sitting still?
Yes. Now
okay,
I am.
Good. Thank you.
Why?
I knew you weren't because you were warbling out for a minute.
I apologize. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. But you know what? We have talked all the way up until guest time, haven't we?
I know. And actually, he's on the line. We didn't even get to read cards tonight. But oh well, we'll do it not next week because we're going to be off next week. But the week after, we'll get to some readings. And
yes.
I tell you what. I will come up with something by the end of the show. So keep listening in. And if you answer correctly, I'll give you a free reading.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? Because we didn't do a reading on the air, I will come up with a question. Now, it's not going to be an easy one.
Okay.
But I will come up with a question, and if you answer it on Desperate House Witches page on Facebook, I will give you a free reading personally.
Nice.
So, let's bring Jade on.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello. Hey,
hi. Does that include me for a free reading? If I get the question right,
sure.
Do I get a free reading?
Well, you get a free reading anyway if you want one.
Yeah, you know what? I do want one.
Okay.
I've been just giving readings for 18 years. I would actually love to turn those tables around.
Awesome.
I will totally give you a reading.
And how is
anytime you want, you let me know.
How are you guys doing in the midst of Mars and Hydra? Mars went into Hydra about a week and a half ago. And
it's been weird.
It's kind of brutal.
And
I mean, it's really intense energy out there.
Yeah, we were just talking about that.
Well, I popped in about 2 minutes before we got. I'd be very curious to hear your guys' individual take on what you've internally been feeling. Because, again, one of the greatest ways to express my system is for people to feel it. You know, to sit there and intellectually talk about, well, the zodiac is wrong, and that's one thing. But what gets me so motivated about this system is the experience of what happens. It's, you know, like Mars went into Hydra September, I think it was the 10th, and it is considered to be Mars's least favorite place in the zodiac to be because Mars is fire, and Hydra is inside a Cancer, which is water. So it creates emotional turmoil and emotional heaviness. And I'm kind of curious about what have you guys been experiencing, because I've sure in the hell been experiencing it.
You go first.
Yeah, we were just talking about this. This is hilarious.
Okay. Synchronicity.
We were talking about all the infighting amongst pagans. We were talking about the fact that, well, me personally, over the past week, there are an hour here and an hour there. It's not hours in a row, but like 2 hours one day and an hour the next day and an hour the following day. I would have almost rage. I was just angry, snapping for no apparent reason. There was no obvious reason. And then it would suddenly disappear. We were just literally talking about this before you came on.
Well, I'm happy to hear it because, well, see, I have my moon is in Hydra, and it's just been such a – and my job, like I said, I love my job as an astrologer. I mean, it's what I've been doing nonstop for 18 years. But there are alignments in the zodiac that when they take place, my job becomes extremely challenging to me. And I'm in that right now where, I mean, I've started giving readings at 10 this morning. I have had one after the other. As a matter of fact, I just got off the phone like 15 minutes ago from someone who's going to be popping in on and listening in on the show. But this is the time where it becomes very taxing on me, where people's problems become so severe and somewhat they can't find their way out. And so the job as an astrologer turns into the job of being a therapist.
Yeah.
And that's when the job gets really taxing on me. Because I love being an astrologer. I mean, I wish I could spend my whole life in situations like this and talking about the zodiac. The act of giving readings, as you guys know, is, you know, there's a lot of therapy involved in it, and you end up taking on a lot of stuff. And tonight will be one of those nights where you just have to clean out this night, you know, in this day because of how intense people's issues are. Yet alone, I'm not really feeling that good to begin with in it as well. So it is what it is.
Yeah, okay, if I may interject, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be, like, stuttering my way in. It's like, I've been kind of in between, like, I was describing the fifth, you know, it feels like you're covered with clay. It's, you know, there's kind of the extreme of emotions. I've been kind of bipolar, you know, as far as I will just get angry at the drop of a hat over nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just be furious. I mean, ready to rip something up. And I have taken that energy and written what I was angry about you know, whether it was made up or not, or just the word anger, and, you know, ripped it up on the piece of paper and burned it, you know, trying to get rid of it, trying to eject it from myself. And then there are other times, like other days, that I would just feel, I don't know, like elation and euphoria and just, I mean, like half an hour of, oh my God, I'm so happy I could squeeze something. You know, like I'm literally clenching my fists and clenching my teeth because I'm just so full of like joyous energy, and then it'll dissipate. You know, and
well,
it spins back.
Let me respond
and
just a little bit to what you've said,
okay,
just real quick about the clay feeling, or like, okay, for one, Cancer in ancient astrology was known to be the sign that was a container, would hold energy in. That's why people, when they're born under Cancer, they actually end up holding in a lot of energy. And that's what it's known for. Oh, the Cancer hides like a shell. So there's an actual literal feeling of being contained energetically. When like, I've been feeling that, not just since Mars has been in Hydra, but since Mars has been in Cancer, which is we're about a month and a half into it, where people's energy just feels contained, and it creates outbursts, especially with someone like Raina, who is a tiger, which is about expression of energy, and it deals with bursts of power. You contain that energy, and you end up with a volcano that eventually erupts because it has to build this pressure up. It's a very challenging energy. It's very, very, very challenging. And also, you can feel right now the Cancerian energy of sadness a little bit. You can feel out there in the universe.
Yeah.
You can feel that people are suffering right now. And see, Cancer, we give water signs mainly to sadness and depression and things of that nature. So right now, a lot of people are feeling stirred up, confused. And oddly enough, it's a time where I do not encourage people to interact a lot with people, especially Mars and Hydra, because you can end up in these random arguments and fights with people that have no value or meaning. And it's just the contained energy. So it's a time where most people want more interaction, but it's because of the intensity of it, it is better to be a tad bit more hermetic under alignments like this, because it's a conflict-based alignment. It's better to work these things out internally. Otherwise, there's just going to be a lot of conflict with people externally.
Interesting point.
Yeah. Very interesting point.
And Saturn is also just finishing its square to Mars at the same time. And you know what's really interesting is Mars last week squared Saturn, and it was supposed to be the, you know, in astrology, like everybody was banking on that being the really tough week. And I did say on Bite Size TV, I said, you know, this Mars in Saturn square is tough. I'm referring to actually not last week, but the week before. I said, but when Mars goes into Hydra, it's going to be worse. And there's going to be no squares, there's going to be no aspects. It's just simply Mars and Hydra by itself will be worse. And I'm going to have to say, so far I've been right. This week, my opinion has been a tad bit more intense. It hasn't been as friction-based, but it's been a little bit more solemn. And people's problems have been a little bit more concrete and difficult. And that's just been my personal experience.
Yeah.
Well, on my end, too, and I'm not sure if that's just because I'm an empath, because I have a tendency to pick up on energies. I mean, even through the computer, you know, it's I can see somebody, hear their name, look at their name, and I pick up on their energy. And it's like I've gotten depressed out of nowhere. I mean, just really just like, why the hell am I so sad? I've got nothing to be really sad about. It's just, you know, the
just
whole
energy. And as of today, as I was telling my previous client, and this is just, you know, I'm not trying to act great or important. I've been doing astrology for 18 years. I have 137 people on my cancellation list right now.
Wow.
And it's just because people are suffering. And I've never had this many, this tops it. When I was in Arizona, and like 1999, there was a point where I had like 116 people waiting to get in, and it's just everyone's going through this same molasses feeling, but being held in emotions they don't like. And this is Hydra. This is the star Hydra. This is not even relevant, in my opinion, so much to the 12. It's something very specific to Hydra. You know, it's a sign. Also, another thing to look out for, which has happened, it's a sign where your enemies pop up. And I've had two cases since Mars went to Hydra of an enemy just kind of coming out of nowhere. And that's why I kind of, in the midst of being demanded in work, refrain so much from external stuff in this time, because things can change right now with people very, very fast. And that's why we call it Hydra. People's Hydra comes out in this phase. And all of a sudden you're in a normal conversation talking about lettuce, and in 5 minutes you're about ready to sacrifice the person. You know, it's a lot of intense energy going on, and so small conversations can become really intense. And I've even watched clients, you know, you have to watch your wordings with people, and people are on the edge a little bit.
Yeah. It's like that ready to strike, yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been feeling that from other people, like, but me myself, it's like, you know, there's been a couple instances just today. It's like, you know, with my husband, it's like, you know, he says something to me and it's like, yeah, no, I don't think so. Boom. You know, I don't, no. No, you're not going to talk to me like that. You know, it's like, I'm only 3 years older than you. You're not going to talk to me like I'm an old lady. Fuck you. You know, it's like, I love you, but fuck you.
But you just hire Raina to come and take care of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Oh,
just give her the call. Say, Raina, I need a hit on someone. That's what the tiger's job is to do.
See, but she knows
she's
I'll
ready.
Do it, and that's what scares her. She knows I'll do it.
She knows the history.
Oh, that's really funny.
She's waiting at the ready. She knows. No, I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah, Raina. Yeah, I agree, and I said that. With humor and with seriousness, you know, Raina will take the job.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I'm fortunate. She loves her baby sister, and I love her. So, yeah, she's like, he looks at me the wrong way. She's ready to strike him down.
You ain't kidding.
Oh no, I know. Yeah,
or desperate
no,
house witches, you know, what can you expect? There's got to be some dark humor thrown around, you know.
Oh, God, yeah. You have no idea.
Just the name, you know, nobody wants to deal with a desperate house witch. You know, you're in trouble.
No.
Because the word desperate adds this whole other element. Like, you're in trouble, actually.
Yeah.
So it's quite appropriate.
Well, you know, honestly, we've kind of come through the other end of it. And now other people are in trouble. Now other people have to watch for us. Because, I mean, just today, it's like, you know, there was somebody I talk to on Facebook all the time, and she seems very nice, but, you know, with the latest gun shooting and our hearts and thoughts go out to those people, you know, with the latest that, you know, the Republicans rear their ugly heads and, oh, you're not taking my gun and, oh, well, this and that. And it's like, you know what? Oh, what was it? She posted a picture of, oh, God, what is his name? Kevin something. You know, he's an African-American comedian who would never say this in the first place. And he's like, you know, hey, Obama, you better not piss off the rednecks. And I'm like, oh, well, not like he can change his color as it is, you know, because that's already pissed them off in the first place. And it was like out of my hands and onto the computer before I could even stop it. It's like, no, I'm not taking anybody's shit. I've befriended 5 people this week just because of saying stupid shit, because they pissed me off.
People do say really stupid shit. I mean, I can't believe the things that people are. There's this whole thing with even politics to begin with. It's just like, what has happened since the 90s and the 80s? It's just like it's become like religion, and the difference intellectually between a Republican and a Democrat is pretty significant right now. I'm not saying one's higher than the other. I'm not going to get into that. but I'm just going to keep it there. I just the intellectual difference between a Republican and a Democrat is pretty serious right now, and there's some things that basic logic you think would prevail, and when you realize it doesn't, and then you're met with this opposition and this anger and this hatred, it's quite shocking. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it right now,
well,
politically, where the two are so different. I mean, because I'm not going to get into voting and all this stuff like that, but there was a time on this planet in the distant future, like even in the 80s, where when you're dealing with like Ronald Reagan, you know, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, you know, it's like regardless of which side you were on, Republican or Democrat, you still had this genuine sense of America and what we represented.
Yeah.
Man, it's like now there are two Americas. There are the coasts and then there's the middle. And they are not the same anymore. And it's and not saying that it's just the coasts and the middle, because that bleeds on over, but I'm just saying as a general rule now, you know, the coasts tend to be very Democratic and the middle tends to be Republican, and there's just all this fierce difference in intellectual awareness. And I'm surprised. And what happens, you know, as we're getting older, we see people we knew growing up that we were friends with, and then they come out and start saying this other stuff. You're like, whoa.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, oh,
whoa,
my God,
what happened?
I didn't realize you were a dumbass.
Well,
that's my personal opinion. But
okay, yeah. Well, let me interject on that.
Yeah.
Because my feeling is that when you have the ultimate weapon, and the ultimate weapon against anyone is their faith, and if you can manage to abscond with that and hold it prisoner to a political party, you've got people where they live, and the Republicans, and it's not a slam against Republicans, because it's actually rather creative and really well thought out. They found people's most weak spot, which is their faith, because we're all going to die in some regard, however you believe that happens. Whatever you believe comes after this particular life, you are beholden to your God. So that's why they came out at people with, well, if you're a Christian, you're going to go the way we tell you to go. And a good Christian does this, and a good Christian does that. When you have people at their base brain, their mythology, and everything that they believe to be true, you can control them. And that's what's happened.
Yes, I can definitely understand that. Very, very, very much so. It's a very interesting time to be alive. Although, you know, a lot of people right now are caught up in, you know, the doomsday philosophy that we're getting ready for the end of the world and things of that nature because of how bad things are, without really looking at our history too much. You know, our recent history in the last 100 years has been pretty damn brutal. And what's going on this planet right now is nothing compared to what was going on in, like, World War II. Or World War One. I mean, imagine being alive when there was someone executing Jews in the millions. I mean, we wouldn't tolerate that right now. And nor do we have. I heard North Korea has some things that are pretty similar to that. But our consciousness now tolerates these things differently. But we're definitely in this phase of shifting consciousness. And I think when people are talking about how difficult the times are, it's the stretching of the consciousness change. It's just really hard for people to open and accept their shit, really. You know, because that's what, you know, in India you're taught when we're going into this age of Aquarius, which starts here, and we'll see the transition of that in our lifetime. What it does is it pulls the darkest stuff from your subconscious into your conscious mind for you to deal with. And that's the age we're going into. And I'll put it this way. Right now we are 75% dark, 25% light. Now, for us, we've been living life for a long time, so I'm just referring to the general rule on the planet, where in the age we're going into, that shifts, where we go 75% light and 25% dark, which means everything right now unnatural inside of nature has to come to the surface to be revealed, making this particular age so utterly challenging right now. But, you know, I think even right now, the energies we're dealing with universally are a big... It's playing a big role in the evolution of who we are. Now, I started hesitating on certain things I was going to start saying, so I shifted my gears, but we're definitely seeing a lot. And I think people are on many levels being revealed who they are and what they represent. And it's a hard thing, because being who you are is one of the most challenging things out there. That's the reason why we've taken a human form, is for that one purpose only, is to know who we are. And there's an escalated force out there right now pushing people into what they really are, and it stirs people up. And this is what I call the astrological problem, because it's easier to be who you are not than to be who you are. And when shift these signs, what's that?
Oh, no, I was totally agreeing with you. I'll go into that in a second.
It's easier to be who we are not than to be who we really are. And that's why, you know, my day-to-day battle with getting people aligned with the proper zodiac, it's a battle between the false self and the real self now, because people have identified with a false self, which is a very easy thing to do. And they're having to move into their real self, which is a very challenging thing to do. And I see astrology and this Asterian astrology thing being somewhat a part of this whole thing, because when you lay down, this is what you think you are, and this is who you are, people automatically go into this deep struggle. And it's no longer about astrology in the spiritual sense. It's about being who you are. And it's a challenge for people.
Yeah. Just as an example, most of my life I have been a people pleaser. I am just now at 40 finding my voice. And I tell you, every time I am able to say, you know what, no, I don't want to do that, you know, just because I don't want to do that, just because that's what I'm feeling at that point, is so liberating. You know, and that's why I think, you know, I've been so confused within the last couple months, because it's like, okay, I feel like I should fall back into that, but I'm like, I stop myself. You know, and it's the back and forth with, you know, the guilt of actually standing up for yourself and the pride in actually standing up for yourself and saying, no, you know what, that's, I can't do that for you. I can't do that for you. Or I can't call you back right now. Or I can't come pick you up. You know, and it's a struggle. You know, and I think people are struggling with becoming who they are internally, who they're supposed to be. You know, at least that's what I found in my experience.
It's an intense subject, being who we are, because, you know, when we talk about people being characters, you know, it's like, especially here in Los Angeles, nobody really is their self. Everybody's someone else. And
yeah,
characters are people who are their characters are people who are themselves, no matter what. And I think every human being is a tad bit eccentric. I think every human being, no matter what, there's an eccentricity to them that is kind of who they are, like it or not. And people avoid that eccentricity of what a person really represents. And it's a struggle. It's a very, very intense thing. But I do believe it's the only reason why we're on this planet, and we're in a very escalated phase of that awareness right now. And a lot of people are – I really think, you know, we talk about even like people coming out and saying, I'm gay or I'm this and that. Really speaking, no matter what you are, when you find that true essence of what it is that you are, it is a coming out party, regardless of mm-hmm. what it is. You know, I have never met someone that truly found themselves, regardless of what they ended up becoming, that it wasn't like, hey, I'm sorry, but this is who I am. This is what I represent on this earth. And there's going to be polarization against no matter what a human being is. You know, because I always say, you know, me recognizing to the core element of who I am, that I'm connected to the Dark Mother. And it's something in my spirit I can't cast out if I tried. And admitting that to myself at the very beginning was not an easy thing to do. I had to cast out beliefs that I had about myself, and I realized then that being myself was going to emotionally harm people around me, because they were going to be upset that, okay, this is, oh, we're waiting for this now. Now he's saying he's this devotee of the Dark Mother and this, that. But every human being out there that steps into themselves, it's an eccentric process. And it always is about coming out. And if someone really hasn't had that experience of like, oh, my God, I kind of represent something that not everyone's going to like. If someone has not had that feeling yet, they have not found themselves yet. Because when you find yourself, it's a coming out party. And not everybody's going to be happy about it. And so it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, and, and I don't know, this is like, it seems like the time for everybody. You know, regardless of age, regardless of where you've been in your life, you know, I've noticed a lot of people, I don't know, I guess under 25, 23, you know, it's still that kind of precarious balance, so they don't really know anyway, you know, because they're still finding themselves. But anybody over that age, if you've lived your life a certain way, it's like, you know, if you've been disingenuous to your soul, you know, it's now you're fighting. Like, you know what? No, this is me. This is me. I'm not taking your bullshit anymore because I'm not making myself happy. And in the end, you know, that's who we're left with is ourselves. So we're the only people who can make ourselves happy. You know, regardless if you find true love or you know, if you're alone, it doesn't matter. It does not matter. You know, and that's kind of the important thing. You know, because I know a lot of people are shifting, like, mid-relationship or beginning of a relationship or, you know, regardless of the point. You still have to be true to yourself.
I agree. And what do you think about that, Raina? You having your coming out party pretty soon? Or have you already had it?
Yeah. Well, I'm in the midst of it, and that's your fault. I'm grateful for it. No, I was expressing that earlier. I don't think you were on yet. But we were you know, I was talking about how I'm learning about Hecate and how powerful she is and what an amazing force she is to work with. And I had not done that before, and it's because of you I am now. So it's been amazing. But people have a very hard time. If you're not open, ripping the veil off, it's almost like ripping the Band-Aid off. You know, it's healing. It's me. It's part of me now. Guess what? It's not part of you. It's not who you really are. And the thing I love about Asterian astrology is that it shows you exactly who you are in a very definite, very, very definite way, in ways that are not expressed by any other form of astrology. So, and I don't even talk about Western astrology at all anymore since you started coming on the show. I think we talked about that last time too, because I learned by my own experience how real Asterian astrology is, as opposed to Western astrology, which really basically serves to placate a person one day at a time.
Personally, I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you saying that to begin with, you know, because this whole astrology thing is just this constant battle. And, you know, most of the day, you kind of feel like you're in a battle by yourself. So when you step out of that and you hear someone say that, and you know it's true in them, it's a very nice thing to hear. And also the stuff about Hecate as well. I mean, and also to hearing her name pronounced properly. Thank God I can hear that. I mean, it's like I'm on my Facebook page, I have a pre-Augustus Latin dictionary, means an ancient dictionary that says exactly how they pronounced her name in ancient time. I posted it, hundreds of people have read it, and people will still say Hecate or Hecate, which I'm like, where do you get Hecate? The only person that said Hecate was Vincent Price, you know, when he was doing a horror movie that actually mentioned her name, he said Hecate or Hecate. You know, but it's because in the world of magic, proper pronunciation is a huge deal, because verbs and vowels have meanings and power behind them, and it's a part of chanting, is say things correctly. But anyways, Hecate is quite a force, you know, and when someone embraces, in my experience. I'm not saying it's the only experience out there. Everyone has the right to their own experience. I'm just speaking for myself. Hecate is the highest force in creation. I've never felt anything that high in vibration before because of its non-duality, its her ability to access almost every state of consciousness with no duality and no judgment. And I've never felt a force sincerely connected like that. But she is the distant one. And, you know, my gurus in India, most of them work through Kali, who I equate with Hecate. And it was this constant wear and tear of having Hecate enter your sphere, you fall in love with her, and then her remove herself from you entirely. And then it was a game where then you would have to chase her into these higher realms. And you're taught that in India. And my gurus were like that to me as well. I'd have gurus where they would come in and they would take over and then they would like throw me out and say, you have to fight your way into this thing. You have to actually really find yourself. But it's such an intense force to deal with. This goddess is going to put you through the tests of recognizing the true power of your real self. And when someone embraces her, I do expect a pretty interesting transition to start with them because it then becomes about her journey, which she's a solo goddess. You can attribute her to Hermes. You can attribute her to Porcus. You can give her whatever counterpart on the face of the earth you want to, but this goddess is free of all of them. She's freedom. So her only goal in creation is to give you liberation and freedom, which can only come from loving yourself first and foremost above everything else. You know, my guru, Kaul Babaji, would always, you know, say, you know what, those people out there that are constantly expecting people to love them can't ever find her because she's the goddess that says, no one on this earth loves you, thank God, because now it's your responsibility to love yourself. And she's that force that comes in and says, it's about you and me, it's not about anybody else. And you have to learn this through entering her realm and then having my experience is her, I would get so close to her and feel so in love with this goddess and just to have her revoke herself from me. And then I had to climb my way back into her. But then I realized as I was climbing back into her, I was evolving, and I was finding an inner power that was built upon something deeper than I can possibly explain. But it's a force that arrives, disappears, randomly comes back again. Sometimes they give you an incredible expansive awakening experience, and then disappear. And then you just kind of go through this whole Hecate process because her goal is only for you to find your individual self. No other force in creation is like that. And I've worshipped a lot of different forces. Nothing works as mysteriously as this goddess whose only motive is to help you align with your inner self. And, yeah, it's intense.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, you're making me cry now. No, that touched a core.
Well, let me ask, what part? What part the most? The disappearance?
Well,
the removal?
Everything. Everything. I don't know if I've ever told you this, and I was just discussing it with Sis, but I actually, when we moved, when we bought our first house, we live on a three-fork crossroad. I wear three keys on my neck. She is my goddess, and I have doubted myself, and I have questioned because I have felt her come in, and I have felt her leave. And it's like I have questioned myself, and, you know, it's like, am I not good enough for you to let me worship you? And then it's like something will evolve within myself. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to cry.
That's deep. Well, hey, listen, you know, the reason why it takes place is for the sake of longing. You know, one thing my other guru, Bao, would always say, he said, everybody has love. Everybody is a drop of love, but not everybody has longing. This deciphers the difference between people on a spiritual path and people who are not. Because longing is the desire to unite with something and to merge that love in yourself and assist it in its evolution and its merging with something. You know, and longing is the only thing that can get someone to merge into higher states of spiritual consciousness. And how do you get someone along? Well, you enter their being, you open some doorway, and then you pull back. And then the person then has to work through their frustrations, their angers, their doubts, and all these various things that come up. And then she re-enters your sphere, but she's moving you up the ladder because doing that pulls up all your shit. That's what it does. It's like, oh, you love me, and then you leave, and then it's just like, boom. It's this whole energy game that goes on with the world of Hecate. But when you realize what it's doing, which takes some time, you realize there's no force in creation that's even close to this goddess. And I think she is the most active force in creation. And she's not just a goddess for Wiccans or pagans, witches. She's in everyone. And now, nevertheless, she doesn't care if she's never recognized for that. That's what makes her so amazing. She doesn't care if she's recognized for being that force. But it is all about longing. And when someone can well up in tears over a goddess, well, there's two ways to look at you from my perspective, showing your emotion on the show. Either you sincerely have longing, and this whole entrance and removal has helped you evolve, or you're a lunatic. One or the other. You either have longing in you to unite with something deeper than yourself, or you're a little bit nutty, you know. And nevertheless, I always make that distinction because my guru would always say that to me when I would be so upset over the fact that I had just spent 4 days in the mountains and worshipped her for 4 days and didn't have one single experience of her. I went through this shit for a long time. I mean, 12 years in India, this shit. He would just start laughing. And say, well, you know, here you are, you know, Mr. America, you know, coming from America, worshiping a goddess, and here you are upset that she didn't give you the experience that you wanted. Do you have longing? Do you really want her? Are you a little bit nutty? He would say it to me. I'm like, I probably a little bit of both, you know. But nevertheless, it is the game. If you are right now, or anyone at any place where they are thinking so solely about their connection to a spiritual force out there, that's, in my opinion, an advanced person. Because there's a lot of things on this planet to fucking worry about, I'll tell you that. I mean, there's death, there's violence. And if your mind is centered on that being one of the emotional responses in your system, it's your connection to a goddess means you are evolved. That's what it means. When I make my statues to Hecate, I mean, if one eye doesn't look right, I'll sit there for days all fucked up about it. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, I got to make her eye look right. And I'm sitting there realizing that's the stage of consciousness I am where this matters to me. Where someone else, if they saw me and they were filming it and putting it on TV, they'd be like, this guy's a nutbag. That's what he is. He's like obsessed with taking his statue apart and putting it back together again and making sure the hair on it looks perfect and the eyes match the way I want. And if I don't get that experience, I go crazy. And I want that inner link so personally to manifest. But to someone else looking at it from the outside, they say, oh, my God, that guy's crazy. He's just obsessed with this like statue, like some kind of weirdo.
But the whole thing. You don't care if they think you're crazy.
But that's what I'm saying. When you advance and evolve, these matters to a worldly person are quite trivial and weird. To an advanced person, this really matters. Because it's you're now the closer you get to that ocean of the goddess. We do end one day. We do enter that realm of the ocean. And we do finish this thing. At the very beginning of creation, Hecate was this infinite unconscious ocean. And then the first thought she had of becoming conscious, she formed drops out of that ocean. And those drops descended through creation. All human beings are individual drops of the ocean of Hecate. That's all we are. We dropped out unconscious, had no idea who we were. We go right back into that ocean in the end, but conscious that we are the ocean. And we go through this whole span of creation evolution just to go back right where we came from, but aware that we are the ocean because we started out not being aware. Hecate was that mischievous dark ripple that came off the force of the ocean that said, know yourself. And so drops started coming into creation and forming this whole creation that we know. It's just her play down here. And you know what's so sad is these lives we have, we're just dreaming. Right now we're all just dreaming. It's actually when we die, we actually wake up a little bit more from the dream than where we're at right at this moment. Because in that, we're closer to that ocean. But we eventually just merge right back into the ocean with the awareness that we are some part of that infinite ocean. So we have to go through this, and the only thing, going back to my original point, the only thing that moves you up the ladder is longing. Nothing else does. No magic does it. I mean, magic is awesome. I love it. I'm not going to criticize it, but it doesn't help you merge back into the ocean. Longing does, and that's why personal God matters, like picking a force and merging in with it and becoming one with it. That matters. And so when you have an emotional response like that, it's because this goddess is moving you up the ladder.
That's good to know. It's good to know that I'm not, you know, just imagining this and that I'm not alone. You know. But I hate to interject. We actually have Paul on the line.
Paul.
He did reading for last month that we were so rude.
I remember Paul's chart.
EOS attacks.
Speaking of Hecate, he's got his moon there. Nice.
Exactly. So I'm going to bring him on the line, and I'm going to go dry my eyes. And you and I are going to talk after the show, or when you have
I'll
time.
Stick around.
Yeah, that touched a chord. So let's bring
okay,
Paul
good.
On real quick. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Hey, Dorian, how are you?
Doing good.
Hi,
you
Paul.
Hello, Jade. How are you?
I'm actually doing well. Doing well.
I am not sure if I want to talk about my chart. This is a very interesting conversation, and you know, just to talk about my little chart when you're talking about an entire ocean, you know, I was very deep into that conversation. I'm like, I don't want to talk about my chart now. It seems
well,
small
you know,
in comparison.
It's essential that Paul comes in and grounds this energy. That's all you're meant to do
there
because
you
your moon is under the star Hecate.
I was always told, Jade, if you don't mind. Oh, and
no,
hi, Raina, how are you? I guess, is Raina still there?
Where is Raina?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I was
listening.
No. I apologize.
I was always told that my moon was in Sagittarius. Or, no, my moon was in Capricorn. I've had my chart done before, and it seems just vague enough that, you know, it could be for anybody. Oh, you know, yes, you're creative and you like to be in control. Well, who doesn't want to be those things, you know? So I'm just very interested, Jade, in your take, and the Asterian astrology seems like it goes really, really just deeper. And I'm just fascinated by it.
I appreciate
it,
that, again, very much, because that's what the point of bringing these 27 signs to life is about. It's about getting more intricate, getting more more information, because going and this doesn't distract our earlier conversation, because astrology is that roadmap that helps us go back into the divine, and it helps us understand that drop of that ocean that we are,
right,
and what part we're playing in that ocean. You know, it's kind of like Rumi used to say, you know, when you think about God, it's just, you know, think about a rug on the ground, and human beings are just the threads running through it. It's one rug. We're all one, but we all have different
That's
roles
right.
in that rug. And astrology is that role that we play. And, you know, I will tell you, you do not have a Capricorn moon, and you've never had one. Make that relatively clear. And I can sense even energetically the Sagittarius aspect of your nature. Your Cancer sun doesn't change. You're a Cancer in wrong astrology and Cancer in right astrology.
Mm-hmm.
Which I find your sun in Artemis means a lot more to me than Cancer to begin with. Your sun is right.
Again,
what's that?
I didn't understand quite what you said there.
Your sun is under the star of Artemis.
Artemis.
Artemis, which is a type of Cancer.
Okay.
And it's the and we give Artemis to optimism. We give it to people who have a great capacity to uplift, to elevate. Like even in my book, we give Artemis to people who have a liberating quality, but we make it a sign that is angelic and positive and tends to be a force that moves people up. Now, with that being said, I look over to the subconscious part of your chart. We look at the moon to see the person's subconscious mind under the star of Hecate.
Okay.
Which means now we deal with opposite energies. Means subconsciously, with your Saturn-Moon conjunction, inside the Star of Hecate, you deal with a lot more than people actually know. The Artemis Sun comes off as being definitely the all-around good, positive energy. But under the surface, there's a lot of work. Like if I was sitting down with you personally, we would actually get more into detail about what that actually means. But mm-hmm. there's a balance going on inside of you, a very, very deep balance of dealing with opposite energies. And you're mm-hmm. learning in this life to balance very opposing energies. Some of the energies that you project to other people might be very different than what you're experiencing internally. But Hecate Moon, we see as a person who is very optimistic as well, but also someone that has the capacity to see the true core nature of other individuals.
I never saw myself as like that. I'm not sure. Maybe I just doubted it.
Now, what part?
The idea of seeing the core nature of, I mean, I would like to be able to do that. I never thought I was capable. Does that
make
sense?
We give the Star Hecate, its symbol is a bunch of roots, and we call it the core.
Okay.
And its job is to go to the core of things. Now, you just said something that I'm going to concur with in my own way. Not only do you have the moon in Hecate, which mm-hmm. is a part of your subconscious nature, you have Saturn in Hecate too, which reverses
mm-hmm.
a lot of the qualities of Hecate.
Ah.
So where Saturn is placed, you expect a reversal of that sign to take place. So your moon is there, which does indicate getting to the core. But you have Saturn there indicate resistance to getting to that core.
Ah.
So I'm not going to try to just agree with you because you actually said that. It's something that's in your chart. I was teaching astrology later today and said almost the exact same thing. Another person had a sun Saturn conjunction. And whoever Saturn is indicates a reverse, but it doesn't mean we have to be limited by Saturn. It is your job to go into the core nature of things. Artemis is more of what you see is what you get. It's one of those signs.
Mm-hmm.
But what is more intriguing to me with your chart laid out the way that it is your animal totem, which we did not get into last time. I talked a little bit about these things that I'm saying now. I want to talk about your animal totem a little bit. The head of your animal totem is your wisdom. The throat and shoulders of your animal totem is your earthly duty or why you're on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
The torso and legs of your animal totem deals with what you truly desire on a spiritual level. And the feet is your personal spiritual path. The head of your animal totem is associated with the lynx under the star of Hydra, the star we're talking about now. Now, let me first state that next week is not going to be an easy week for you. As I don't know if you heard the earlier part of this conversation, we were talking about Mars and the star of Hydra. That means Mars, the planet of war and anger, is going to start going over your rising sign in Hydra and then conjunct your Mercury, which is also in Hydra. So next week is going to be a very colorful week for you, but it's going to be a week where there's going to be a lot of anger, frustration. You have to watch out for arguments, which is the main thing with Mars.
Okay.
But the main thing with Hydra being the head of your animal totem, it's quite case-specific to a very transformative personality. Now, I give Hydra to people that are very, in my book, to people that are very deep, very powerful, and have a sense of purpose and destiny. Now, you have a chart that's filled with conflict in a lot of respects, which means there's one part of you that is that, and there's going to be another part with the Saturn-Moon conjunction that doubts that part of your own nature. See, and this is a word I'm going to ask you to Google.
Okay.
Sade, sati, S-A-D-E.
S-A-D-E.
And the second word is S-A-T-I, sade, sati. It's
sounds,
when you're born.
Yeah, Sanskrit.
Yes, it's when you're born with Saturn conjunct your moon. In India, what you're going to read some about, you're going to read some things you like and some things you don't like about, it indicates a resistance towards going towards your real self.
Hmm.
Why that's there, I don't actually know. This is just something for you to kind of ponder in your own way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
But Saturn-Moon conjunction, the moon is our happiness, it's our mental and emotional well-being, and Saturn there indicates resistance towards going into that space. So there's something that you have to work out in order to really fully express the totality of you of who you are, otherwise you'll end up feeling limited and not feeling like you're in a life where you're able to fully express what you represent. That Saturn-Moon alignment you were born with has to be dealt with in this life. What that means to you, I don't know. I really honestly don't know. But the lynx is about communication. It's about expression. It's about people that have the capacity to inspire and elevate. That is known as your wisdom. Doesn't mean you were born with that. It's what you're meant to rise into and step into in this life. The lynx is a little bit challenging to have as the head of your animal totem because the lynx is solitaire. You have one part of your chart that is very solitaire, very alone in a lot of respects. And then you have the fire moon, which is very social and is definitely a very extroverted energy, while the lynx being the head of your animal totem is kind of a loner, so to speak. So you're, like I said earlier, your chart's filled with interesting contradictions, and this is one of them. But I would definitely say spending time rejuvenating internally is going to be very, very important to this life. But communication shows up strong because Hydra is the star of communication. So I would highly recommend for you to be in realms where you're able to use your voice to express change to other people in some way, shape, or form. The throat and shoulders of your animal totem is a mink. Minks are interesting. It's inside of Leo. So the throat and shoulders of your animal totem is a mink, and it's inside of Leo. This is regarding your earthly duty in this life. And since, and I know there's going to be some conflict on a minor level with this as well because of your Saturn-Moon conjunction, but this deals with creative expression and finding a creative way to express your inner nature. So the head and the throat and shoulders of your animal totem deals with communication and expression. So we're looking at a chart that has to express itself in order to be spiritually fulfilled in this life. With that being said, there's still a Saturn-Moon conjunction there that resists that on one level or the other.
Okay.
I see your chart also as having profound thoughts and ideas. Mercury on the rising sign in India indicates people with very powerful thinking and very powerful ideas and even somewhat of a revolutionary way of thinking. I would encourage you, with having your animal totem being laid out the way that it is, to create your own system about something and your own way to express something very specific and maybe even potentially find a creative way to express it.
Okay. Do you mean like writing, something like
I
that?
I like writing for
art?
You. I love communications of any kind for you because Mercury's on your rising. That's like my first and favorite thing. And Hydra is ruled by Mercury itself. And so that's my favorite thing. And even when I'm referring to creativity, I do think finding a way to express your creative self through writing would probably be the most efficient.
Okay.
But finding yourself and finding the core that makes you happy is going to be the challenge of this life. And that's the Sade Sate, which when you Google it, you're going to read a lot of things. For most when you read it, it's a phase that someone goes through. Everybody goes through a Sade Sate in their life. You just happen to be born under it. And what it means is there's somewhat of a resistance towards finding that place of bliss. And why that comes up, I don't know. It's just something that's there. Powerful chart. Very powerful changes going on even right now. And in the next week, if you wanted any validation of how astrology works, you're going to get it all next week, as Mars goes right over your rising sign and right over your Mercury, because you're going to find it very difficult to avoid conflict next week.
Okay, well, it looks like it'll be a week of just inner reflection and try to, you know, maybe be the loner.
I would agree with that. And what happens, though, when you're in a relationship is the people around you want more from you during alignments like this when it's better to withdraw. Because when you try to work things out under alignments that are challenging, things can get more complicated.
Okay.
So next week...
If you were to advise, you would say withdraw. Is that,
I would say, like, if a couple was coming, if I was sitting with a couple right now, I'd say, you know, take a break for a week. Go do other things. Don't try to resolve things in a week like this because nothing will get resolved. But you'll feel a little bit more irritable than normal and more frustration than normal, and arguments will just come out of nowhere. That's Mars going over your rising and your Mercury, which only happens in Asterian astrology next week, and you'll feel the system in action.
Okay.
Desires in your chart, very interesting, are associated with the Tiger, but are associated with Libra. And freedom, independence. Like I said, your chart's filled with contradictions because Cancer is a very relationship and domestic sign.
So I've heard that. I've read that before, and although there's certainly a part of me that would be like that, I think that there's another part of me that, you know, I guess what I've heard is homebody, and so, you know, there's a part of me that digs that, and there's a part of me that has wanderlust as well.
Well, that's where I'm going right now. Libra ruling over your desires. No, I like the interaction. Libra ruling over desires would indicate constant desires for freedom and independence. And so that's the other contradiction in your chart, is the Cancer, you do have karma in this life to be in relationships and to work through them, but a part of you will be constantly seeking freedom at the same time. Jupiter in Libra, which is the torso and legs of your animal totem, indicates someone who's constantly desiring freedom and independence. And that's something that Raina has a lot of Libra in her chart. So that's something that came out of her reading a lot as well, is there's this need to be free and liberated. So it's kind of like the idea of, you know, wanting that freedom, but always in situations where you're experiencing the opposite. So you have to learn to find your freedom even while you're bound. So scheduling time on your own and things like that becomes very important. But yeah, no, your main desire in this life is freedom, but the head of your animal totem is inside of Cancer, which indicates domestication. So again, another conflict. and meaning though that this, when people have charts with a lot of conflict, I actually see your chart as that, where there's a lot of opposite energies. So like there's one thing that insinuates one thing, and then you find something else in their chart that's exact opposite. I do find they make the best characters though, and people end up being very well rounded with that, and they tend to have the ability to adapt and to be likable people. I think when people have charts that are very one way, they're very challenging to other people. People that are kind of, that have a lot more opposition, I think have more opportunity to interact with many different types of people. And they don't end up being that. What's that?
I was just wondering if I can ask a question now, because, you know, you see my chart as having this conflict. And sometimes people that are challenging have like a very one-sided chart. Are the people with the one-sided chart, like, do they tend to be more successful, either, you know, in maybe in business or in just in certain areas, or in sports or whatever? The one-sided charts are more successful people? I'm just asking.
Well, you know, not necessarily. I would say that in this particular system, and I've had to even water down some of it, because in the ancient Roman Greece, they believed that certain signs were meant for recognition where other ones were not. And it was pretty much just accepting the lot. Even if someone had a lot of various parts of their personality, well, if they were born under certain stars, they still would end up becoming successful with that personality. You know, it's like James Franco is a good example of someone that does so many different things, but in his chart, he was born under three famous signs. So no matter what he does, he's just, even to me, even comes off as not being grounded at all in anything that he does, but he's still famous. And then you get some other people that are just really rigid in their thinking, and that actually prevents them from growing. But we see signs in the system and certain alignments creating recognition more than those types of intellectual patterns, if that makes sense.
It does.
And to wrap your animal totem up, the feet of your animal totem is also Libra, and the tiger as well. It shows up twice. So again, your spiritual path in this life is emphasizing that which creates freedom and independence. So I do like paganism and things of that nature for you, or religions that emphasize the ability to choose the way you want to experience the one. Now, if someone has the feet of their animal totem, like in Capricorn as an example, they're better with orthodox religion, because it's not about free thinking. It's about choosing something very specific. But the tiger indicates multi-diverse energies. So, we'd lean you towards something that reflected freedom and independence that allowed people to choose the way they wanted to experience the one. So I'd lead you towards Hinduism, Buddhism, or paganism.
It was one of those three. I didn't want to say for sure, but...
Was it Buddhism?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, most commonly, Libra energy connects to Buddhism.
Really?
Yeah, because air signs are also intellectual. And I think that air signs prefer to be around free energies, but that are intellectual, and Buddhism is possibly one of the most intellectual religions out there.
Well, I like the idea of the sort of choice. You know, the Buddha himself never claimed to be a god. You know, the Dalai Lama doesn't claim to be like, you know, this all, you know, this all knowledgeable pope. He refers to himself as a simple Buddhist monk. That's it. That's all he refers to. You know, there's no airs about it. And I find myself kind of drawn to Thich Nhat Hanh's teaching. I don't know if you're familiar.
Oh, very familiar. Yes, very much so.
Okay, yeah.
He had the Living Buddha, Living Christ book, didn't he?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm looking at my copy right now.
Nice. Well, so yes, no, I would definitely reflect upon those paths for you, which deal with freedom. So, but yeah, that's, you know, so that's just the simplistic part of your animal totem. You know, in time, contact me and we'll do a full-length reading about these things. But I also like your chart for these types of religions because your star Hecate, which is where your Saturn is connected to wrathful entities. And
to what entities? I'm sorry.
Wrathful, like deities that are intense.
Wrathful.
Wrathful.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah. So like Yamantaka, you know, deities that have a lot of intensity to them because your chart actually aligns well with that type of energy spiritually because we see the wrathful deities as being the liberating deities. And again, we connect them to Libra. See, in ancient time, Libra was one of those signs, which is where you have your Jupiter and your Neptune. Libra was the sign of freedom and liberation. That's where even Libra was somewhat of the name Libra was even connected to liberation at one point.
And that makes sense.
And yeah, and also your Saturn conjunct your moon does indicate a potential interest or slight connections to darker energies. But your chart's very intellectual in a lot of respects. And I believe it or not, I give that to your Sagittarius moon. Sagittarius moons tend to have more of an intellectual approach to things. But
Sagittarius moon, not Capricorn moon.
No, you've never had a Capricorn moon. Never had one.
Okay.
It's a myth out there with unicorns. You know, I say the tropical zodiac and unicorns hang out with each other all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say
unicorns
aren't real, and I'm sure there's some tropical zodiac in someone's imagination out there in the universe, but nevertheless, it is what it is. There's only this one. And matter of fact, having a connection to Buddhism, any Tibetan astrologer would agree because they use the real zodiac there.
There you go.
Tibetans, Hindus, and hopefully now Austrian astrology will be the real zodiac systems that are out there.
I have to tell Jade, I have to thank you so much for your time and giving me this wonderful information. And there will be a point where I will contact either Dorian or Raina for a more in-depth reading at some point. But this is wonderful, and now I know next week, just kind of like, you know.
I was going to end with that one. I was going to say, before you go, don't forget about that Mars and Hydra.
I am telling you, I've written it all down. And I want to thank Dorian and Raina for permitting me to come on the air and speak with you. So thank you, ladies. Thank you, Jay.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you soon. Awesome.
No, love you. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, have a good night.
We'll talk to you.
You too.
You too.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. So there's Paul. Nice.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I'm glad we finally got somebody on the air. I will disclose we have two more readings this week. But one of the ones who was supposed to call in, he actually, his wife got strep throat, so he was not able to. But hopefully we will be talking to him in a future episode.
Yeah. And the one reading a show always works with me, you know, because I do like it. I personally find that for me it works better because I like to study a chart. You know, like when I was a Western astrologer, because I was one, believe it or not, I was a Western astrologer at one point in my life.
Wow.
You kind of you kind of go off your intuition and you can really get a reading wherever you want, whenever you want. An Asterian astrologer makes you more of a scientist, and so I like to study someone's chart. And when I give readings, I have someone's chart studied for a good half an hour at least before they call. Where on air, when people would pop up, because I also did a couple shows on Nancy Wallace show, and she had people just call in right there in a moment, and it was really not the way. When you're using 27 signs, you kind of like to be well-versed in the person's chart. So one or two readings works the best for me, because I really like to study the chart inside and out.
Okay. You know what? From now on, that's what we'll do.
And also, I think talking about these universal trends is not a bad idea, because after Mars, this is for you, Dorian, after Mars is done with Hydra, Mars goes into Persephone next.
Yay.
Awesome.
And so
you're
getting ready for, you know, a lot of what I just said to Paul, you're next.
Yay, me. My turn. I've been waiting for it. I don't know how many years, so I am ready for my turn. So ready.
And also, it's important, you know, as we once had Brian on the show, he's the first person I ever gave a reading to. You know, I want people out there celebrating these gods during their holidays. When the sun is going through these 27 signs, okay, and this, if you go online and you Google, like, Hermes Celebration Day, just as an example, they change. They've never been the same because our ancients used to follow the zodiac, and these dates change. So you're not going to see there was not one just solid date to worship Hermes. Those dates changed, and you can actually see through the different ages how they worshipped him on different days because they used real astrology. They used the system I'm using here now. But these 27 deities in Rome were the 27 powers of the zodiac. And these are the 13, this is where it's so amazing with the 13 days, because the sun stays in these palaces or these stars for 13 days. But those 13 days are when that deity is active. And so, like right now, the god Hymenaeus is active on this planet right now. The sun is in his sign. He is spiritually doing work, so this is when he should be celebrated. After Hymenaeus, the sun goes into Sol, the sun god. Then he takes over. And nevertheless, you know, that's when his worship times were. So not only is Asterian astrology a roadmap for someone's inner self, it's a real roadmap for these gods and goddesses and their work. And so it's important to celebrate these deities with these dates. Those old dates that people use to celebrate the deities. Now, hence the solstices are amazing, which we're getting ready for tomorrow. Absolutely, 100% yes. But all the other deities, all these other deities in their worship days, they're not active on those days. These are the days they're active.
You know, because, and I'm sorry, I need to clarify, because I always celebrate the equinox on the 21st. And lately, like within the past, I don't know, 5 years, I've seen people saying, oh, no, it's the 22nd. No, to me, it's always been the 21st. What is with that?
You know, that's the great thing about, you know, growing up in India, practically. I don't get in these conversations with people. You know, it's I was around, you know, some pretty amazing beings. I trust their energy and information so much, they celebrated on the 21st. So 22nd, I have heard recently some people celebrating on the 20th. I mean, people can celebrate whenever they want. It's on the 21st. I mean, and that's where there's some value in science a little bit. They have it nailed down to the 21st because that's when it is.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
No, you're crazy, but you can still celebrate it tomorrow.
Well, I love you. And you're one of the few people who can get away with that.
Well, and I also don't mind your violence. You know, if you want to, you know, get freaky on me, you can do it, you know. It's really funny. It's like, with my Luna 13 project, there's some violent songs on it, and I'm actually working on some more stuff. But, you know, what's really interesting is I really do not tolerate at all violence towards women, at all. There is no circumstance. As a matter of fact, I'd once done this video way in the past for 777, and I eventually took it off because it seemed there was a little bit of violence towards women. But, you know, violence towards men has always been game for me. You know, like women towards men, and I have a CD coming out here pretty soon, and it has women singing on it, and it's going to really shock people of how big Luna 13 is now sounding. Even forget about Resurrection in Black, my next CD, but CD coming out. But it is a CD about women's stories and about women that have been violent towards men, and I love it. Absolutely love it.
Ooh. Well, you know, I've got a flogger handy.
Have you guys heard of the ID channel? The ID channel, it's a channel that's like, it's identification discovery. But it's really all these shows about women violence towards men. And, like, they have Wives with Knives is one of the shows.
That's right.
You know, and I am obsessed with the ID channel. I mean, I love it. And it's all just like how, the man didn't take out the garbage, and so, well, he lost his head. And it's like, and I'm like, oh, my God, what a story this is. So my CD that's coming out next, which has these incredible female singers on it, is dedicated, you know, to the ID channel.
I fall asleep watching it.
I do too.
as you and Raina know, I used to be an author of erotica.
Yeah, I do know that.
I have done some research. I have been to BDSM fetish fairs, and I have friends in the industry. And I have actually partaken in the hot wax treatment because I like that.
Nice.
But yeah, I've seen some shit. I have seen some shit. I've actually got a scar from something called a dragon whip. You know, and it wasn't welcomed. To be honest with this guy who was following me around, I was like, yeah, dude, go away. But yeah, no, I know my way around. So we'll talk.
Well, that's, you know, and that's the thing is, it's this whole thing really, is about the power of the divine feminine, you know, that we're in. And it's really interesting, you know, as I evolved as a human being and really stepped into myself and realized that I was going to be something that a lot of people didn't really like. You know, and I think that's what I mean by earlier, when you become who you are, it's always, you're always going to come out. You have to, I'm going to be something that not everybody's actually going to like. And that's a very specific thing. But this whole Divine Mother thing, I can't believe as the 18 years of just focusing on this one force, the changes I've been through and the alignment I have with myself, and, you know, just how much as a man I represent the power of the divine feminine, even in a masculine form, while even loving women. And it's been a very interesting thing to watch because I was taught very early that the mystical side of life is the feminine side. Not saying it's the only way to see it. I know for a fact there's men out there that are plugging away at the masculine form of male God, and they're enjoying it. For me, it's just never been like that. The more I it's like stepping into that power. You know, I remember even when I shifted from this sets a lot of people, but from like a dog person to a cat person, I mean, it shifted like just like boom, out of the air. Out of the blue. And even dogs were looking at me like, ah, damn it, we lost them. You know, cats then took over, and my life became obsessed with cats overnight. And even watching the way I learn from my cats and the way they move, the way they behave, and I'm like, man, I'm born on the Hydra moon. I have the cat inside of me, but I've watched this whole energy just unfold in me, and it's such a nice thing to belong to something that powerful, and that's what we all have to honor each other as pagans, regardless of what aspect, because we're all kind of doing this unfolding work together, and that's why, again, I always emphasize the need for us to kind of come together more than we are, is because we are all kind of in that path of unwinding. You know, it's this unwinding process. It's not even really about anything other than stepping into this divine power that we represent. And we are doing this together. All of us are. And I just think we need to bond more together because it's easier to do this when there's some like energy around. And we are all alike in this. And we've all had to come out and go, you know what, we're Wiccan, we're pagan, we're something that you're not going to like very much, but we have to be it anyways. Or we all are in this kind of world together. And that's why I think the fighting in intermixed paganism is stupid. It's actually kind of weirdly dumb. Yeah. We shouldn't do that to each other.
Of course not.
Exactly. I've seen an influx of it probably within the last couple days. It's like, you know, and one person love him dearly, but, you know, it's what he's chosen in life to create his persona, so to speak. So it's almost like it's a magnet. But still, people around him are finding themselves caught in the draw. You know, and it's a shame because, you know, these people are good people, and it's like, you know, one person, Denise Alvarado, you know, she's had somebody using her name. She teaches classes in voodoo, and this person has been going around selling their spells and their craft using her name, and she's like, I don't know this person.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of that, too. So before, you know, and this is to the audience, before you judge, you know, check all the facts before you jump to conclusions. It's unfortunate because, you know, people are trying to ride each other's coattails at this point. And tell the cops I didn't do it because I hear the sirens in the background.
Well, that's me in my office and downtown Hollywood.
Oh, there you go. Okay, never mind. That explains it all. By the way, you need to send me some In-N-Out. I need a double-double animal-style stat.
Oh, I'm glad you clarified that you were referring to a hamburger place. You said you need to send me some In-N-Out. I'm like, all right, what kind of show is this?
Oh, you know, hello. You know,
but yes,
we are
animals.
Different houses.
But animal style, I'm always surprised when people say that they have been to In-N-Out and have never ordered a hamburger animal style. It's nuts. And their fries animal style are serious as well.
Yes. See, you have not officially lived in California till you have been to In-N-Out and ordered animal style. That it's just, it's not possible. It's not possible. You know, and seriously, you know, having grown up in Southern California, it's, yes, I miss it very much. And I have begged and pleaded with them to come out to the East Coast, and they won't. I got Carl Jr. to come out. You know, they took over Hardee's. Jack in the Box came out. I was like, yay. And then they discontinued my chicken supreme with no tomatoes. But,
funny. Now, not to go off subject here, but you said something a second ago that I want to respond to. Did you have a moment where you became like a cat person?
Oh, God, yes. I am
but
so
was it like
a
moment where you realized it happened?
Or did you always have it? I have been in and out of the veterinary field for over 20 years. And I have always liked both. And there was a certain point where I was out of the veterinary field. I was home raising my son, my youngest son, because my oldest one was in school, didn't need to be stayed home with. And we got a puppy, and that killed it for me because he was the meanest fucking puppy ever. Would bark at anybody that came in the house, and I don't know if it was him or just the instance, but it killed my love for dogs. I still care for dogs. I still, you know, I would still care for a dog, but I don't want dogs in my house. And it was just cats. It was like, you know what? No more dogs. And we have a dog. And I love him, but he's stubborn and we don't get along. And he's cute as button.
I love dogs. I think that, but man, my cats—they're like enlightened masters in my house, and I can sit there and I watch their behavior. And what I've learned in India—that whole thing we were talking about—the longing, you know, the I'm with you, and then I go, I move out, and I go back, and I go, and then it helps you. My, you know, I watch cats behave in a very mystical way, and I watch my cats like hide before people arrive at the door. They know 5 minutes before when people are coming over. I mean, they're just so spiritually in tune. And I look at my cats in awe all the time. Like, wow, I cannot believe I found you guys. Like, just cats in general. I mean, I can't even go into a pound where there's cats because I can only have two. I love being intimate with my animals. I don't want 20 cats. I only want two.
Yes.
But when I see cats suffering, it just destroys me.
Yeah, and more so than dogs.
I just realized I belong to the race of cats, and it's in my chart. It's actually, you asked me when I did your reading, you were like, wow, why don't I have cats in my chart? You do, it just didn't come out in your animal totem. You have the exact same thing that I have. I don't have cats in my animal totems, but my moon is in Hydra, which is a cat. Your moon is in Artemis, which is a cat, which means subconsciously you're connected to cats.
I think I had told you, I actually had, I was pregnant with my first son, and I had to have black cat. I don't know why. I was, like, determined I had to have a black cat. And I went to, I was working at a pet shop, and I went to the sister shop, and they had a black cat, and he was the only one who responded to me. And they had three black cats, and I chose him. And he wound up being my son's cat. His name was Hunter. And then a few years ago, there was two cats that were dropped off literally in our yard. One was up our magnolia tree, and one was under our neighbor's truck, the black cat, and that was Artemis. She wound up passing away, sadly. She had a brain tumor, so
You had a cat named Artemis?
Yes, we did. Yeah, I did.
Because you have your moon in Artemis, which is a cat, which is really interesting.
Yeah, and it was like my son, because she attached to my oldest son. And I was like, no, her name is Artemis. But I've always been attached to that because Hunter was the male version. He was a male cat. Artemis was the female. But Hunter was actually a derivative of Diana, who is a derivative of Artemis, who is, you know, the counterpart. You know, so that has been in my life for probably about, he's 16 now, so that's probably been about 17 years.
Man, it's the world of cats. It's like I have two cats, Lucy, who her name was Lucky Feta first, because just this ball of light, but, you know, over time and meeting and hanging out with more people, I had to change her name to Lucy, but it's short for Lucifer.
Right.
And Regina, who was initiated to the goddess Diana when she was born, Artemis, because she was born under the star of Artemis. And I got her when she was 3 days old because her mom was hit by a car. And my tabby Maine Coon mix I've had for 9 years now. And it's one of those relationships where I cannot imagine what my life is going to be like when she's gone. It's like, oh my God, even if it's 10 more years from now and you're still here, oh my God, that's 10 years goes by a flick of the eye. I cannot imagine my life without that animal in my life. I mean, tonight when I walk in the door, she's going to be the first thing I see, and we're going to have this full moment, you know, because I know right now she's at the door waiting for me. And I've never had a relationship with an animal like I have with Regina. It is so deep. It is so powerful. It's one of the few relationships that brings terror in me because I know these cats have been such limited time here. And, you know, even I think she's going to have a long life. And we're going to have a lot of happy times in our future, but it goes by so fast. It's like, wow, there's going to be a day where you're not here. What the hell is that going to be like? But that's how deep that connection is. And when people come over my house, people say, I can't believe the connection you have with that cat. And she's known me as her mom because she never knew her mom. So I bottle fed her from 3 days old to now.
Aww.
And so she clearly sees me as her mom, and that's it. And it's just this really – and it's a funny, funny story because they told me all these things about her. Her mom was hit by a car, and they said she's going to be this ferocious hunter because her mom was. She's nothing like that. I can't even – I mean, she wouldn't even kill a lizard. You know, they're like, oh, she's going to be so this, and she's going to be a huntress, and she's going to be this and that, whatever. None of those things. I can open the doors to my house all night long. She doesn't even care to walk outside. She'll walk outside and hop back in. She's just heavily connected to what's going on in my world. And when I'm doing my worship at night, she comes right in, plops right down right next to me, and sits and watches. And I remember the day when she was 3 days old. She had this big ritual, Diana, over her, and it was a very effective ritual, and it's just infused in her spirit, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
Aww. See,
yeah.
That's my Disney. We have, Boo, who we got last Halloween from my neighbor. That's actually kind of a funny story. My neighbor is a bail bondsman, and he had a stripper girlfriend at the time, or a stripper roommate. And she picked this cat up in Georgia, brought her with, actually, they're trying to get in the door right now as we speak. Because they're like, okay, mommy, you've been gone too long. But I was like, I looked out and I text messaged him and I'm like, you might want to bring that cat in because she's a black cat. She looks like a black cat. And, you know, they have a tendency to go missing, you know, so you might want to bring her in. And he's like, you want her? And I'm like, absolutely. You know,
yeah.
I don't care how many cats I have. I want her, you know. And so we adopted Boo. And then from my brother, he found a cat. And she's actually a Siberian Burmese. Or she's a sable Burmese. I'm sorry. And that's my cat. That's my cat. And it's like the soul's just, bam, she's mine. She's mine. I'm hers. That's it. You know, whenever I come in the door, she's there. You know, I pick her up. She's, like, on my face.
It's the true,
you know,
nature of a familiar. You know, it is the true, I didn't understand, you know, I'd read about how cats were familiars and what they would do.
Yeah.
And how they could assist in magic and all these other various things. But now through Regina, I get that experience. You know, the charge of whatever's going on in my worship is so much stronger when she's there. It is like she's totally aware of what's going on. And it's just stronger with her in my presence. And she enhances the whole experience. And it's amazing. Amazing, amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
And if you guys haven't seen her, we've got to wrap up in a few minutes here, but if you guys haven't seen her, I've posted the blog spot where I posted a picture of you and holding her, and she is just absolutely gorgeous. Is she a Maine Coon?
She's Maine Coon Tabby Mix.
Awesome.
And she is a talker. She will talk all fucking night long. I mean, she'll wake me up at 4 in the morning, biting my ear, you know, talking, and it's just like, wow, she's a gossip girl. You know, there's no doubt about it. But she's a little magic. She's a little queen. There's no doubt about it. Although my other cat, Lulu, who I often leave out in these conversations, it's not that she's less amazing. She's actually very amazing, but she has that energy, Lucy, of like a panther. She's that, you know, when she sees human beings, she's like, give me a break. She's like, just does not give a shit about, you know, people very much. But I love having her in my house because she's that feline charge. Regina, she's just all about people. Anyone who comes over, she's always like, everyone's like, oh my God, that cat is so amazing because she's a people cat. But Lulu's always in the background in the shadows watching, and she's a hysterical creature.
Aww.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, Maine Coons, they are very people friendly. You know, I don't know if it's because they're bigger cats. Hold on a second. Sorry, she's trying to get in. No,
she's also been
ripping the door. She's trying to get in. She hears what we're talking about. But yeah, my old neighbor had a Maine Coon, and I just fell in love with the breed. They're so sweet. They're so.
I think mine
busy.
Might even have a little bit of rag doll in there too, because she loves just to like lay her body on my arm and like lean over like a rag doll. I think there might be a little bit of rag doll in her.
I could see that. I could totally see that. But, God, this has been such a good show. I hate to cut you off, but we will be back next month.
Of course
we
will.
Glad. And I will have my flogger at the ready, and we will chat more. And we've actually got two readings set up, so whichever one you want to do. awesome.
And we can do them both. We can definitely do them both. I think two's fine with me.
Great.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, we thank you so much for coming on. We enjoy our time with you, and we will talk to you next month.
Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right. Blessed be.
Thanks, Jay.
All right. We are just about out of time, so we got to go. And, we always run out of time. It's like, why are these shows not 3 hours sometimes?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you want to give the peace out blessing?
No, you're on a roll, baby. Go for it.
Okay, I'm sorry. I know I've been talking so much. My poor sister, she's going to kill me later. Anyway, love you guys. Go have fun this weekend. We will see you not next weekend, but the weekend after. And check our blog spot, check our Facebook page, and we will have stuff up for you. And we'll see you then. Night-night.
Blessed Maybon, everybody. Good night.
Blessed Maybon.